Today's Bible reading is from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 34. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Well, today we have the opportunity to hear from Tim. Many of you know Tim and his musical abilities and also being involved in youth group as well. So we're thankful that you're here today. Happy belated birthday
thank you.
So just for us to get to know you a little bit, for those of us who don't, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so my name's Tim. And I'm a third-year business student at a UTS, and at church, you probably see me service lead sometimes, probably play be a bit too loud on the drums sometimes, and also lead at the youth group. And I'm here today.
One final question is that some of you might know that you're going to be involved in some sort of formal ministry training next year. Can you just tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, so next year I'm going to be doing a ministry apprenticeship at Credo, and Credo is my uni's Christian group, so that's UTS's Christian group. And what I'll be doing, I'll be mainly working with first year engineering students, engineering and IT students, because I feel like first year, so much happens in first year. You got your whole life ahead of you, and you don't really know what you're doing in first year. And I think it's important for everyone to be, and especially first years, that before they go on and before their life gets so cluttered with everything, that they put their hope in Jesus and they build their foundation on Jesus and who he is. And that's what I will be helping them with. So I'll be running Bible studies, I'll be discipling them, and I'll be teaching them how to tell others about Jesus and who he is. So, yeah.
That's great. I'm sure they'll be very blessed, as we have been by you and your ministry. Let me just pray for you before you give us God's word. Father, we give you thanks for Tim. We thank you for his life and for how you've called him to know you. And Father, we thank you for this next stage of his life as he is equipped and also serves you at UTS in the fellowship. May you bless him richly and provide what he needs and the strength that he needs to serve you and to serve your gospel. Father, today, thank you for the work that he's put in. We just really pray that as he brings your word, that we might be encouraged by what you have to say to us through your word and through Tim. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I got to get my stuff. So yeah, I just want to thank the pastors for giving me this opportunity to speak. And yep, the clicker's working. And also, thank you, Clarence, for coming up and doing the interview. I actually had the blessing of going to his house the other week for a dinner, with dinner with the size, and it was such a great time. The chicken was so good. So if you're looking for good conversations and good chicken, Clarence is the man to go talk to. So yeah, but today, we're going to be looking at do not worry. So do not worry. It's a saying that we hear a lot nowadays. We hear it with our friends. Like sometimes after I walk away from my car, I'm unsure whether or not I locked the car. So then I got to go like, did I lock the car? Should I go check? And then if my friends there, he'll say, don't worry. I'm sure you locked your car. And then we hear it in our movies. We hear it in the Disney 1994 classic, The Lion King, where Simba, the main lion, he's sad. And then Simba and his two friends, Pumbaa and Timon, they sing a song called Hakuna Matata, which translates to no worries. We hear it in our music like Bobby McFerrin's Don't Worry, Be Happy, which if you see, there are 294 million views, which means that 294 million people don't want to be worried, or one person is just worried a lot and he's watched it 294 million times. All these messages, they sound good. Like, who wouldn't want a less stressful life? A life free from worry. But I think if we take a closer look, I don't think that these messages are actually that helpful. If we look at the scenario where I may not have locked the car and I actually didn't lock the car, my car wouldn't be there when I got back. So worrying would be the right response. And if we look at The Lion King, spoiler alert, Simba just watched his dad die right in front of him. And on top of that, he thinks that is his fault. So I don't think singing No Worries here would be the best response as well. Next up, let me show you some of the lyrics to Don't Worry, Be Happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy. If you don't have a place to sleep at night and someone's just broken into your house and stolen your bed, I feel like there's suitable grounds for you to be worried. And then it says, if your rent is late and the landlord might have to take legal action against you because you are not worrying. I'm not too sure about that as well. But here in Luke 12:13-32, Jesus tells us, do not worry about your life. But we have just so much to worry about. There's inflation and with the rising interest rates, COVID and all the worry that has brought along for our families. We have friendships, school assignments, and for the year 12 students, they got the HSC to worry about. They got to decide what they want to do with their life. They got to study hard. They got so much to worry about. So what makes Jesus's do not worry different from the others? And why should we trust Jesus when he says do not worry? To answer that question, we're going to look at 3 points. We're going to look at the problem. We seek the wrong thing. The solution is we need to seek the right thing. And the application is how we get the right thing. So point one, seeking the wrong thing. Before Jesus says, do not worry, he says, therefore. And it's customary that whenever you reach a therefore in the Bible to ask the question, what is the therefore, therefore? So the therefore in the passage is referencing the passage before, and it's the parable of the rich fool. In the parable that Jesus says, we find the reason why we worry. And the reason is this. The reason why we worry is because we place value and security in things that do not last. The reason why we worry is because we place value and security in things that do not last. Jesus says this parable in a response to a man, follow along in verse 13, who says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And if you know anything about the inheritance back then, it was a big deal, and they had many rules and customs surrounding how much people would get and who would get it. And it wasn't like two brothers fighting over the remote control or whose turn it was on the Nintendo Switch. They had rules and systems in place. So the one common rule was that the eldest would receive a double portion of the younger. So the question that the man asked has no basis rather than him just wanting more of the inheritance. There is no legal or customary reason to why the older brother would share this inheritance with him. He just wanted more. So Jesus replies saying, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possession." He goes, hey, you got to watch out for all kinds of greed, not just greed of financial, not just financial greed, but social value, success, attention, and all other types of greed. Life is more than all of these things. And that's when Jesus shares the parable of the rich fool. The ground of a certain man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build bigger ones. And there, I'm going to store my surplus grain." You might think that you may never have this problem because you might never come into such abundance that you can just live off your savings. But Jesus' warning against all types of greed tells us that even if we might not be rich, we have other types of greed to worry about. So let's keep reading to see why the rich man stores up his harvest. And I'll say to myself, "You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." He stores up his wealth so that he can take life easy. In other translations, he stores up his wealth so he can take his rest, that he can relax, that he can kick his feet up on his beachfront property, wine in one hand, satay chicken skewer in the other. He stores up his wealth so that he can live comfortably, so that he won't have to work another day in his life. And isn't this the life that most of us work for? I don't know about you guys, but this sounds like a life that I'd like to have. Financial freedom. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. I don't need to worry about working. I don't need to worry about upper management. No worries about bills or anything else. That sounds like a great life. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" He dies that night, and everything that he has stored up for himself has gone to waste. Everything that this man was banking on, his 10-year plan, his property portfolio, all taken from him. Everything that was keeping him secure just fell right under his feet. In him wanting to keep more for himself, he actually found himself having a lot less. In fact, nothing at all. To achieve that abundant harvest, he probably had to worry a lot. To achieve that, he probably had to worry about the field, if it was optimal, worry about the wind conditions, if he sowed his seed, if they would fall in the right places. Probably had to worry about buying high-quality grain. And to get that, on top of that, he probably had to sacrifice time with family, time with friends. And then before he could even reap the benefits, he had to invest money to tear down his barns and build even bigger barns, which would probably cost a fortune. So at the end, he's got no money in his savings. He hasn't spent time with family. He hasn't spent time with his friends, and he has nothing but his surplus grain and a half-built barn. He lived a life full of worry, all this so that when that big harvest came, he could finally relax and enjoy the life that he was hoping for. But the worst part is, he never even gets to enjoy life. Or he doesn't even get to live the life that he's been working so hard towards. Or that work, effort, and sacrifice for nothing. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. That's how Jesus ends the parable. Just like the man, we have placed our value in the temporary things of this world. We think we're going to be free from worry when our children get better in that test. When we get a better car, we pay off the mortgage, or we move to a better job. But it's like filling up a bucket that's filled with holes. And I feel like for the rest of us, we're constantly thinking about how we can be living the most comfortable life now. Putting our value, hope, and security in things that aren't going to last and are just going to leave us wanting more. Things like financial security, success of our children, status, respect, or even something like physical health can be things that we find security in, but can be taken from us overnight. Because we put our value and security in things that don't last, we worry night and day over how to live more comfortably now. And that's why we find it hard to believe Jesus when he says, "Do not worry." So now we come to the solution. How do we stop worrying? The way we stop worrying is through putting our value in the eternal. So after he tells the crowd the parable, he goes to his disciples and says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes." Life can often feel like just food and clothing. It may feel like we're just going through life on autopilot, going to work, putting food on the table. We get so worried and anxious about all our responsibilities that we may forget that there's so much more to life than just going through the motions. Here, Jesus reminds us that there is so much more to life than the temporary things of this world. In other words, there are bigger fish to fry. At this point, the disciples are probably thinking, if we don't worry about it, then how are we going to live? I need food to survive. And if I'm going to be following you, I need a new pair of sandals. And that's when Jesus continues. "Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you?" Jesus tells us to look around. Look at the beauty of the world that we live in. Remember who made it and remember who made you. Look at the birds. They don't have barns like that guy in the parable, but God feeds them. How much more valuable are you to God than the birds? Look at the wildflowers. In the ESV, it says the lilies, which I think is just so much more poetic and beautiful. So look at the lyrics. The lilies, see how they are dressed in their petal. If that's how God clothes these flowers, which are here for one season and gone the next, how much more valuable are you to God than the flowers? Psalm 39 says that God knit us in our mother's womb. And now I don't know much about knitting, but I know that it takes a lot of work to meticulously work that thread so it turns into a sweater. Psalm 139 also says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. God made us with such care and attention, each of us unique and wonderful. So if we believe that God made us carefully and the world that we live in all its beauty, then we must also believe that in the same way he feeds the birds and the lilies, he will provide for us, that he will clothe us and he will feed us, that he will provide for your children and he will provide for you. But reading on from the end of verse 28, he says, "You of little faith, do not set your hearts on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. You of little faith. That's rather harsh wording, I reckon. I mean, just because I worry about putting food on the table, it's not like I have little faith. But here it says that we are not to set our hearts on what we're going to eat or drink, and we are not to worry. And the worry in verse 22 and 29 are different. For verse 29, the Greek, the phrase "do not worry," here actually has a much deeper meaning and imagery attached to it. It's the image of a ship out at sea being tossed by the wind and the waves. So that when it says "do not worry" here, it's such an image that we're in the storm of life. We're scrambling to find solutions. We're trying to find out how we can be feeding our family. We're desperately yearning for companionship and grasping on what's going to grant us lasting satisfaction. Jesus says, for the pagan world runs after such things. For those that don't know God, they don't know that God provides these things. So they will work night and day. Their hearts are set on what they're going to eat or drink, how they're going to pave out the best life. But if that's not what you're doing, then I think you're okay. And I think you're safe from Jesus' call out to those of little faith. But if you do find yourself worrying about it to the point of fear and anguish being tossed around by life and its struggles, then I think you need to ask yourself the question, do you believe that God will provide? Jesus ties it all together with this. If you've been sleeping during the sermon, now's the time to wake up. So Jesus ties it all together with this, but seek his kingdom and all these things will be given to you as well. The key to live a worry-free life is to seek God and his kingdom. The key to live a worry-free life is to seek God and his kingdom. What is the kingdom and what does it mean to seek his kingdom? His kingdom is where God is the eternal ruler of his people in his place, and therefore to seek the kingdom is to have God as the ruler of our life. It's to strive to grow in your knowledge and love for God, to become more like Jesus every day. Does that mean if I seek his kingdom that he's going to give me a 7-story house with an 8-car garage? I don't think so, because those are the things that do not last and do not satisfy. But as we continue to learn about God and how he loves us, how he knows what is best for us, and how we know that the life that he offers will satisfy, so we will find ourselves worrying less, being fully satisfied knowing that God has given us exactly what we need for this life, and ultimately the life to come. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. So we find that because we place our security in the things of this world that do not last, we worry. But if we seek the kingdom of God, which will last for eternity, we can be assured of our security for all of life. So now we come to our final point. How do we seek the kingdom? And I have two ways. Number one, know God. And number two, invest in the eternal. Point one, to know God. In order to seek the kingdom of God, we need to know God. I mean, we worry less when we know God and who he is and what he has done. And unlike the things that we value that don't satisfy, knowing God is the only thing that will truly satisfy. God is so wonderful and complex that it would take an eternity to know him. So why don't we start to know him now? And the best way for us to know God is to the best way for us to know God and who he is through his word, the Bible. How do you know someone? It's through taking time and listening to what they say and understand why they are saying these things. So through taking time and reading the Bible and listening to the Bible, because the Bible is God's word, that we can understand it. When we understand the Bible, we can know who God is. For a long time, when I was reading the Bible in my own time, I would understand that it was the Word of God, that God had put the Bible together for us to learn about him. But I failed to realize this is God's Word, that in the Bible, we have the very words of God, that he is speaking to you, that he is speaking to me. We don't just learn about God. We get to know God, the creator of this universe that we live in. How great is that? And how great is God? Number two, invest in the eternal. if we know that the things of this world don't satisfy, then rather investing so much into this world that we will only just pass through, why don't we invest in things that will last? Jesus says this himself. He says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will never fail when no thief comes near and no moth destroys. We have to remember we're made for so much more. There are bigger fish to fry, and as an old friend Tim Chan put it, we got kingdom business to worry about. Rather than using money for our own enjoyment, why don't we use it to bless others? We can be supporting and partnering with our missionaries as they go and tell the gospel overseas. We can be sponsoring a child or even taking home a shoebox to fill for Operation Christmas Child. Well, rather than trying to be comfortable at church, why don't we push ourselves by talking to someone we don't usually talk to or saying hi to an unfamiliar face? Rather than not inviting someone over for lunch because it might get the house a little messy or the house is too messy, let's invite our friends over despite the messiness and enjoy fellowship and deep relationship with each other. Life on this earth is so short compared to the eternity that we will have with Jesus. So let's use what God has given to us to give to others. Whether it be money, effort, and energy, let's invest in the eternal. To close, today we've heard about God and how he provides for us in times of worry. I remember one of my biggest times of worry was just after the HSC when results were coming out and uni offers were being released. I was helping my dad's friend renovate the house. I was helping him paint someone's ceiling. And then I went home for lunch and I was going to see my ATAR. And coming into it, I was so confident that I was going to get what I wanted. But then I didn't. And when I didn't, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was in disbelief. I was like, there's no way it's that low. It was crazy. I was shocked. But yeah, and it only got worse as the uni offers were rolling out. So it was going round and round and round, and I was like waiting for my offers. I was like, are they sending it to the wrong email or something? But the email says you have no offers, so probably not the case. And during this time, it only got worse because during this time, I was meant to get my P's and I was meant to drive people up to the road trip. But then I failed my P's test twice, so I couldn't even drive to the road trip. And it felt like my mind was just being tossed around by the wind and the waves. And as I kept struggling to put my faith in God and his providence, I slowly began to believe that he was going to provide me with exactly what I needed. Since then, I've been able to see the ways that he has blessed and provided for me. He's blessed me with a uni, so our offer did come around. Not my first one, but an offer. And through it, he has blessed me through the Christian group, and it's allowed me to grow so much in serving him. He's blessed me with friends who I'm able to call brothers and sisters, and I've been given amazing opportunity to serve God as a vocation. He's also blessed me with my peas, and now I'm on my greens and not too long from my fools. So God has provided me with so much, but at the start of my journey, I was so lost. I forgot that God knows what I need, and he provides what I need. But if you need more examples of how God has provided for us, we only need to look at history. We look at Adam and Eve. When they were naked, God gave them clothes. We look at the Israelites in the desert when they were thirsty, God gave them water. We look at Abraham on Mount Moriah when he was being tested. When God was testing him, God sent a lamb. And God sent a lamb for us. His name is Jesus. God, through him, has provided for our every need. Because he came down to the man as a man, he was able to experience everything that we experience. So we know that we have received everything we need. You know when you're worrying and then someone that doesn't know you just goes, oh, just don't worry about it. That makes you more worried. It's like, who's this guy? He doesn't know my situation. Why is he telling me not to worry? But when someone who knows you and someone who knows the situation tells you, do not worry, that's so comforting. Like the example earlier, if I'm walking away from my car and I'm unsure whether or not I locked it, and he goes, nah, man, I saw you lock it. I heard the ch-ch. And I'm, oh, that's comforting words. And that's what Jesus has done for us. He has come and he has suffered with us. He was rejected and have had every reason to worry, but he did not. So when he says, do not worry, we can trust him and find comfort in him. But ultimately, through Jesus, our greatest need is fulfilled. Our need for someone to save us from our sin. Because of our disobedience to God, we cannot be right with him. And we deserve punishment. But through Jesus, he takes the punishment that we deserve through death on a cross and rose again. So that now we can be made right with God once again. That we may now experience life and life to the full. Praise God, for he is the God who provides. Amen.